Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
It's sure good to see you all again.
Take these off.
What a beautiful day we got for a Sabbath day. Mr. Barker mentioned I was up there, graveside service for Sally. Her family wanted to send their thanks to everyone who contacted them, and those who have helped save Sally during the years, so they're really appreciative. There's probably about 45 or 50 people there. Very sad, because like Mr. Barker was mentioning, it brings back up everything that you sort of over the months because of things you sort of finally got in line. So it brought up a lot of loving feelings. So one thing they said that Sally taught was to respect others and to love others. That's what they remember as a kid. Sally always taught us that you always need to love and respect others. And they said that she was a fine example of that. It's much better being here with you today, being smiling and enjoying God's Sabbath. So today, the title of my sermon, I'll tell you right up front, in case I don't make it clear, I hope I'll make it clear, is forgiving others. Forgiving others. Something that each of us must learn. Because you see, the reason I can say that with such authority is that God tells us we have to do this. We have examples in His Word showing us how He forgives. And you know the first big example? John 3:16. Turn there with me. You hear this all the time, people say it all the time. When you realize the depth, and we do realize the depth of Jesus Christ who died for us, and you know, we need to always keep it in mind. He didn't do it just for us. He did it for everyone who has been born. Because God loves each of His children. Just of us who have had children or grandchildren, we love each and every one of them. You know? So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mr. Brewer brought out in his sermonette how important love is, right? A married couple shouldn't break their vows. God doesn't want His people breaking their vows either. That one is breaking our promises that we made to each other as human beings, but also to God when we were baptized and He opened our minds to your truth. So I have a story to tell you to begin with. A few years ago, probably 20 or 25 more, I had a window cleaning business, and I used to do a lot of restaurants and everything, and I had a restaurant that I came to a local restaurant, you know, where people know each other. And they got together late in the afternoon. That's usually when I did their windows or anything. It's usually like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, there always seemed to be a group of men come in around 3 o'clock or so. And they put some tables together, and later got named Liars Table. And I think there was probably a few liars there or something. Well, maybe not on purpose, but you know how you stretch a story. You know, because I've seen where I stretch some sometimes. It was like the first one said, boy, I caught that big fish like that. Oh, this is the one he's talking about. This is the one he showed me. So, but anyhow, after a while, I got to know pretty much a lot of these men. And after doing my work there, I'd sit down sometime with them. There was like 6 or 8 of them probably all the time. And we got to know each other for a few years. And we have two who were, one was a welder, had a company. We have one who was, some type of grinding business. We had a man who worked for the city of Kettering. We had a man who, we even had a Navy SEAL, one of the original Navy SEALs. Now that guy scared me. Because when he said something, When I first heard him, I'll have to admit, I thought he was full of error. I mean, I would have thought he had to be telling lies. Later on, I found out he wasn't. This man had a sash with every honor but one on it. Every honor but one. So I changed my mind in a hurry how I thought about that man. I found all of his stories were true. But anyhow, then we had a couple people, well, working people like me, and maybe a guy who owned another restaurant would be there. We even had a chiropractor there. So anyhow, we got into some interesting discussions, and they were usually lasted for 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes, seemed like maybe an hour and a half, some of the guys. But anyhow, one day, we were all sitting there, and all of a sudden, this one guy got up, and he just started chewing out. I mean, chewing out. I'm not talking about just saying, I don't think you're good. He raped this guy from one end to the other. And I think everybody there, including me, was shocked. Like, whoa. I mean, you're in the middle of 7-8 men. And he went on for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then he just got up. Or he just, you know, he stood up, he just left. And I think everybody was just stunned, because this group had probably been together for 2 or 3 years getting to know each other. But anyhow, it was kind of interesting to think that the guy that this man chewed out, he had known from previous years, many years before. And they got back to know each other through meeting each other here at this table. And they seemed to get along fine. But whatever it was, this guy definitely did not show no love, no respect, anything else. He did everything else. If he had done that to the Navy SEAL, he would have probably been dead. Because that guy wouldn't have stood for that. The Navy SEAL was one great guy. Laughed, kidded, but I want to tell you what, folks, if he ever turned that hat, life was over. His eyes were the beadiest eyes I had ever seen in my life. It scared me whenever I just saw him look at you. I mean, he'd look with, like, he'd just soon take you out and look at you. So I was glad it wasn't him. But anyhow, finding out that knowing that these guys had been friends before, got along while I was at the table and everything, it just kind of hard to believe, because you sort of had, you know, like a friendship. You know, everybody there, they weren't buddy buddies, don't get me wrong, but we got together and we talked, and they talked. But anyhow, I want to ask you, how would you have handled that situation? In public now, around people you knew, and in the middle of a restaurant. I know how I would have handled it before I was in the church, if I had that, you know. But I know what I should have done now. But the point is, how did everyone in that restaurant feel, those guys? Nobody said a word about it after he left. Never said a word. Nobody. I think it's all just in shock. Or there's respecting the guy who got you wrong too. But anyhow, you know. It was quite an awakening of how things can change. And just as we were talking about with about love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I'm sure God wasn't happy with what one son did to another son. But whose world is this? This is Satan's world. Would you have snapped back? Would you have defended yourself? Would you have caused a ruckus? Could you even have caused a fight? Would the friendship have been done forever? You know? Just think about it. Something to really meditate, because I don't think many of us have ever been through something like that in a public place. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. I don't know. But I'm just saying. But I hope no one ever has to face that, because that would be a tough situation. So today, How will we handle it? Being in God's truth. Think about that. Or you may have been totally degraded to almost nothing. Would you still show love? Would you still show mercy? Would we still be who we are today? Would we have lost it? I hope not. Let's turn with me to Matthew 18:21 and see what Christ said to Peter. And then we can apply it to ourselves. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times? Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times. To me, this has been one of the hard times. But there it is. Christ said, forgive. Aren't we glad that God forgives you and me? And I hate to tell you, but I know it's been more than 70 times 7 for me in my lifetime. I wish I didn't have to ever say that. But to be truthful, otherwise I'd be lying. And yet every time you or I go before God Almighty, and if we repent, He welcomes you back and forgives you and loves you. Loves me, because we're all sinners and we all need to be changed, because we have the one evil one out there who is destroying the world. And you can see what's happened in just the last 6 months or so since this virus has gone on, how the world has changed, how the world has changed and gone down. Not up. It is going down. And it could be just the beginning. Could be just the beginning. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather my children together, even as a hen gathereth his chickens under her wings, and you would not. Is that not how Israel got in trouble? Because they wouldn't submit to God and repent. So as he says, him would take in the chicks, he'd bring you back gladly. He brings us in every time when we ask for forgiveness. God is a loving God. Our God is love. He tells us so in John 4:7. We'll turn there right now. But in 1 John 4:7, our God is love. We'll turn there later. He shows it so many ways. Now let's go to a way that Christ showed love. Let's go to John 8:7. You all remember this when you see it? Something Mr. Brewer was talking about. He told what the penalty was for it. Let's go back to Let's go back to verse three. Top of my thing on chapter eight says, a woman caught in adultery. Mr. Brewer's sermon that went very well with what I'm going to be talking about today, learning how to forgive. Verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst. Now, do you only notice one thing wrong with this? They did not bring the man. Why not? From this sermon that, I think both would be killed. Where's the man? Where's the man? Verse 4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So the man was there, right there. Wouldn't let it happen, and he was gone. He was there. Why didn't they bring him? Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Christ stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin. So we're all not eligible. And guess what? Neither were they. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up, himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. I wonder if he had their attention by now. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, it always hurts when it comes back home, doesn't it? Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and a woman standing in the midst. All the accusers were gone. Every one. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, woman, where are those accusers? Have no man condemned thee? Like he was surprised. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, and sin no more. He didn't tell her it was okay what she'd done. He said, go sin no more. And that's just like what he tells you and I. Every time we sin and ask for forgiveness. Yes, I forgive you. I love you. I want you back. I'll take care of you. I'll strengthen you. I'll protect you. I'll heal you. You're mine. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You and I. Have two good examples. Three good examples, really. Already. Let's go to Acts 7. 58, if you will. I'm sure you remember Stephen. We'll go back to verse 54. 58 and 60 is what I want to get to. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. What was he doing? He was telling them their sins before. I guess we could go back. I better get back to it. Let's go back to verse 51. He called them. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which slew before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept. So that's why they wanted, had the gnashing of teeth. They were cut to the heart. Because guess what? He cut them right in two because he knew that they had rejected Christ. And he pointed out to them. And I know you and I jump up and down for joy when someone tells us we're wrong, right? Yeah. We're the hard-headed, stiff-necked sometimes. Not always, I hope. And I hope we're getting better. But the point is, we can be. So when they heard these things, verse 54, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Man, they wanted to get him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Before I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their coats, clothes, at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Whoa, do we know that man, Saul? Did he change? He was right there when Stephen was stoned. He was right with him. Imagine how Paul felt when he realized what he had done later on. Just as we do whenever we see our sins or see what we've done wrong, and hopefully we repent, just like Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Definitely shows the conversion of Stephen. Definitely shows he had the heart of God and trusted God and loved God and that he had listened to Christ. And that's why he was a disciple. They had a growing heart of love. And can you imagine what Paul felt when he realized what he'd been a part of? And realized that God the Father and Jesus Christ had forgiven him. And he was able to become an apostle top to guide, direct, and lead people to him and the Father. Wow. So you see, we have example after example. And there's many more. Just as was brought out by Mr. Brewer, how David, look what he did and how he changed. He paid the penalty for a lot of it. But he repented. Once he realized, see, because like he was pointing out, once we get into a sin sometimes, we almost fall down a deep hole and can't get out because we're not seeing straight. We're not thinking straight. And that's what God's word keeps us, is on the straight and narrow path. That's why we need God's word in our hearts and our minds. And the only way to do that is to study and pray. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. You and I are going to be trained if we finish the calling. Be kings and priests in God's kingdom, helping others to realize there may be something written about us. You ever think, they always say the Bible's not done yet. Ooh, I don't know if I'd like to see some things I've done before in the Bible. And maybe you don't either. You know? Because I'm sure that many of us, maybe not all of us, and I hope not all of us, well, you know, before God opened our hearts and minds, and sometimes even after, you know, maybe it was right that if it's about one of us, that we repented as the king did and walked and loved God and Jesus Christ. And he had. And that's what we're to do. We're being taught to grow and overcome. We're being taught to build in our hearts and our minds the love for God first. If we love God first, we can learn to love and forgive others. Because God is love, and when we have him in our heart, we can learn to love and forgive others. We must use this in our lives, because we are to be kings and priests in God's kingdom. And once again, who doesn't want us there? Satan the devil is out there as that roaring lion that we know about. And he tries to get us. I don't know about you, but I've overcome things for years, and all of a sudden, 15 years later, somehow I fall back into a ditch once in a while. And that's wrong. But I've done it. Because, you know, when you first overcome a sin or something, boy, you just absolutely just say, boy, I'm never going to do that again. Man, never use that word, never do. I remember a guy telling me that a long time ago. Never say never. Hope I'll never do. Hope I will be smarter. Hope I will have learned. Because as soon as you say never, woo, Satan said, hot dog, I got him. Because he thinks he's above. And he comes after us harder than ever. Think about it. Because he wants to show God that he can take out those who love him. Turn with me to Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, if you would. In Isaiah 55. Six and seven. Verse six says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's what was taught back in the Old Testament. That's what's taught in the New Testament. Nothing has changed. God will pardon. God will forgive. God will help you. God will protect you. But we have to be committed. And I hope each of us are. But we, you and I, have to make sure that we study and pray. And not take lightly the verses you hear so much. And I know I've used it so many times, but it is so true. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is us obeying his laws, having it in our heart. And the first four laws are showing us how to love the Father our God, how to serve him, and to reverence him in every way. If we learn to do that and love God, then we can fulfill the six laws below, which Mr. Brewer was talking about, one of them. We can overcome the evil one as he tries to put and make us fall for something that will cause sin and will mess up our lives. He is there to destroy us. That's all he wants, because he knows he will never obtain what you and I have an opportunity to have. He has been thrown out. He is miserable. And he wants you and I to be miserable too and be with him and fail. Let's make sure it doesn't happen. Let's make sure that we love our God. Let's make sure that we obey our God. Because we have eternal life if we do. That is the promise of our God and our Father. And one thing about it, he doesn't lie. And as you took back here, that's why I brought you back to Isaiah. That's exactly what he told them. If you love me and keep my ways, I am with you and I'll take care of you. And yet, just as they rebelled, you know, I used to always say, how in the world could the Israelites have failed? They came out, went across, the waters opened up. And yet, in a very short time, what did they do? Golden calf. Moses was gone too long. You know? God must have done away with him. That's what Satan wants people to think. He's done away. He's not coming back. It's been too long, you know. God never goes away. God never changes. We just have to stay strong, true, and to the point. Remembering what God has told us, what God has showed us through his word. During this time we see around us, we need to really, in my opinion, just my opinion, I know maybe I'm just thinking about what I need to do more of. So maybe a couple of you may have to do it too. I need to get this zealous life that I had when I first got God's word. I would have done anything to be with his people. To be with the living God. You know, I'm getting older. I know you don't think I am. I say you turn around, I'm still old, so it doesn't make any difference anymore. But, you know, Satan makes it harder. Satan lulls people into misconception of what life is. Things are going too good, and so, you know, well, yeah, I missed a little bit of prayer today. Oh, I'll get it tomorrow. I'll do double tomorrow. Have you ever caught up on anything like that? I knew a man one time, years ago, and I couldn't believe it. He was on our sound system in the church. Did things, and I'm telling you, sound people do a lot. Mr. Barker does so much. Over here, I'm telling you, they do a lot. And I've been at feast sites working with the men. They never quit. They're at every event, everything going on. You have to have the sound people, video people. I'm telling you, you need to pray for them and give them a lot of credit, because they need help sometimes, because they have a lot of work to do. And they do it willingly. But sometimes we get off track. Because Satan puts something in your way. And once he finds out, he may have opened up an old weakness or found a new weakness, he just keeps prying, puts that wedge in there, and all of a sudden it gets bigger, bigger, bigger. Hopefully we see it before it gets too big and causes something bad to really happen in our lives that's really bad that we can't fix. Repent of. There's nothing we can't, but sometimes people think they get in a tight end and they can't get it fixed. The prodigal son shows you that God is always looking for each and every one of us. If we make a mistake, even if we go away, he is looking for us every day to come back. That's how much he loves us. That's what a father does to a child. Always wanting, if the kid goes astray, you're always in your mind, well, I hope Junior comes back. You know, I hope he, well, it didn't seem to be, well, maybe tomorrow he'll come back. Maybe he'll finally see, finally have a trial or something to make him finally wake up. How did the prodigal son wake up? He's eating slop with pigs. That's getting down pretty low. He said, my father treats my servants better, right? So he goes back home. And who's the first one that sees him far away? The father who's been looking for him every day since he left. It didn't say exactly how many years he'd been gone, but he'd been gone for a while because he'd used all his money that he had. And he was built out of it by what? He bought friends. And then when he didn't have anything, guess what? He didn't have any friends either because they weren't really his friends. We are a family. Going to the funeral today makes you stop and think how blessed we are to be together and to have such a family who cares. Well, that's God said it's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of one another. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to help one another. Pray for one another. Turn with me to Matthew 7:1, if you would. I got 3 hours. Why do I have 3 hours a day? I think you'd love to hear that. This one we've gone over many times before. This is Sermon on the Mount, the first part of it. 7:1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with which judgment judge, ye shall be judged, and with the measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. Also, in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about that. Treat others as you want to be treated. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in a brother's eye? And consider not the beam that is thine own eye. Why? Because Satan says, well, it's a lot easier to look at him and say, or her, and say, look what they're doing. Man, I would never do that. Oh, aren't I great? Oh, no. All we're doing is we're defecting because we don't want to face our own problems and take care of them. And that's what he's showing us here. Or how wilt thou say to the brother, let me pull out the mote out in thine eye, and behold, a beam is in mine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of the brother's eye. And you know what you do when you come back and you look at yourself? We'll go to the other brother and come with love the way we're supposed to come to brother if we see a problem. Not going condemning, but going say, is there anything I can do to help? Is there something that can be done? Do I need to pray for you? Is there anything that I can help you with? Whatever it may be. There's not to be friction between brothers and sisters. Look at the world and you wouldn't believe that, that's for sure. Because that's where most friction comes. Verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Ye enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many therein be which go in thereof. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. Remember the story I told you about in the restroom? There's a guy that says, here comes the second page. His name should have written down.
Paul Harvey.
Right. Now the rest of the story. The rest of the story was me. I was the man that guy was eating alive. And I mean, he was eating me alive. He had known me from the time I came into God's church. He introduced me to God's truth. I rented an apartment off of him, or a room off of him, when I first came to Dayton, Ohio, 54 years ago. He left the church about 10 years later. We reconnected like 20-some years later at that restaurant. Got along fine. I want to tell you, that was so embarrassing. That was so horrifying. He called me a liar. He called me everything you would want to call a person. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was just stunned. What do you say? I mean, somebody in front of eight guys you know, plus whatever else, God must have been with me. Because I have an Irish temper. And I think if God hadn't been with me, my Irish temper would have come out with what that guy was saying. But I didn't. I think I was just so stunned. And he walked out. Well, about a week or so later, I saw him. He came in. He wanted to talk to me. So he sat down and talked. Never apologized. That wasn't Doc. I know Doc. He wasn't going to apologize. But you know why he took it out on me? He just found out he had cancer and he was going to die in a couple months. I was the first person that he saw that he knew, and he just laid everything out on me. I mean, everything. Did I forgive him? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Until we forgive someone, you and I will never be happy. Because they will be intervening in our lives and stopping our growth of love that God wants you and I to have. With love, there is no hatred. With love, we forgive. Let's go to 1 John 4:7, which tells you God is love. I've been wrapping up in about 2 hours. Oh. We're going to wrapping up. First John 4:7. The heading in my Bible says, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for our God is love. He told us in John 3:16. He's telling us now. He tells us every day. We read his word. He wants you and I to grow and become kings and priests in his divine kingdom. It's up to us. We need to study, pray, and we need to stay close to our God. Remember in 1 Peter, I'll just quote it, 5:8, that Satan is a roaring lion out to deceive anyone that he can, because he wants each of us who love God not to have that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control that comes from God's Holy Spirit in our being. That's God's Spirit. That's what we want. Satan doesn't want any of us to have it. He wants us to be miserable like he is and to be a failure. We are not to be failures. God did not call you, me, or anyone that he has called to be a failure. But we have to do our part. Matthew 24:13, I'll just tell you what it says. You know, it's basically telling you, endure to the end. We have to endure to the end. We have trials that we're going to have to go through. Depends on how many trials and how hard trials are on how we handle them. Do we go to God's word and seek? Or do we go to, I can figure this out. I'm going to take care of this. I've been there. Good luck. Have fun. Sorry to see what you're going to go through. God can remove it immediately, just as he did for ancient Israel. They thought they were trapped. He opened up the sea. But in a short period, what did they do? After being guided and directed for 40 years, they built a stupid golden calf and started one to worship. That is something we need to think about, how quickly you see we can forget. Like I said, I always wondered how they could ever forget. They've been with God, with Christ, and he's led them, the light, you know, cloud, light, every day. Gave them food, gave them water. So what's my excuse? You and I have this word. They only heard it once a week on God's Sabbath. But I always wonder how they could, and then I look at myself and say, how could I? I have everything. Go to John 8:31. Something you usually go through the book of John during Passover time and all that. But think of this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue or believe in my word, then are ye my disciples. Indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free. And between his love and his truth, his power and his might, you and I are so blessed. Let's be sure we use the love that God has for us. Let's be sure that we do what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. And that's what I'm going to close with, 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1. You've all heard it many times. But you know, the one thing I found out about human nature and myself, you know, sometimes I don't always treat my wife right. And that's not right. When I had a lot of back pain years ago, so much, my daughter used to say, Dad, why are you mad at me? I wasn't mad at her. I was hurting so bad that just anything would aggravate you. Anything. Because when you're in 7 to 10 pain all the time, let me tell you, and I know others have been pain and you have pain, and let me tell you, when 5 pain feels good, you know you've really had real pain. When I hear someone has pain, they tell me 7 and that, I know your mind isn't thinking clearly. Because I know many times I'd have to tell my daughter, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I just snapped. It's not something you're proud of when you realize what you've done. You just need to always make sure that you tell the person you're sorry and really mean it. Try never to do it again. So let's go to 1st 1 in chapter 13, which is known as the love chapter. Though I speak of tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And Though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love hateth not. Love owneth not itself, is not. This world can tell them about how great they are and how wonderful we are. And without God in us, we are really nothing. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, God's truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be vanished away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three things are the greater of these, but the greatest of these is love. Our God loves you and me. Let's be sure we keep growing in forgiving by applying God's word, his ways, and his example. By putting love and respect for our God first in our lives, and first in our lives with everyone we meet. Have a good Sabbath.